I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, he said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds or comes out of the mouth of God. We are not just physical and mental beings. God, who created human beings, He is spirit. And He's called the Father of spirits. And so we are spirits. You sitting where you are or looking right now, you're looking at me through those two windows we call eyes. And if we're in the room together, I can see your body. I don't see you. You're inside the body. This body's the house, the tabernacle we dwell in. So, yeah, if you don't feed your body, you know it's going to get weak. And if you never feed it, well, it'd get so weak and it'd quit working and die. Well, your spirit, since it's not just a temporal physical thing, it won't cease to exist, but it'll become emaciated and weak and just, it doesn't cease to exist, but it acts lifeless. And so the inner man has little to no influence on your life. And so many times people's spirit, the man inside, is so weak that when their flesh is dominating and they know they shouldn't do something with their flesh, but the flesh is going, I want it. I'm going to do it. And the man on the inside goes, no, no, you shouldn't do it. No. And the flesh says, shut up. I'm doing it. So, there's such a disparity. You know, the flesh is too dominant. You remember the Lord told his disciples, he said, the spirit is willing. Yes. Didn't say strong. The spirit is willing. But through the flesh, it's what? Weak. The flesh is the weakness of the part of the being. And so how do you fix that? Well, it's possible to start feeding your spirit. Yes. Now, not just anything will feed your spirit. Not just social reform, politics, certainly not a bunch of ungodly entertainment. What will feed your spirit? Jesus said every word that has come out of the mouth of God will feed your spirit. And if you feed your spirit over a period of time and then you start exercising your spirit and using your faith, your spirit can become the dominant part of your being and to the point where it intimidates your flesh. And your flesh, you want to do something wrong, your flesh says, can I do it? And your spirit goes, no. You go, okay, I was just asking. For real, it can go completely around to where instead of your flesh dominating you, your spirit can be strong. So that's why we start off the class by saying, my spirit's getting fed. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And my faith's becoming strong. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. And I'm learning how what? Not to be defeated. No. How to overcome. Yes. Right? Yes. Father, all of us, thank you so much for knowing you and knowing these great things that set us free. And we reach out to you today and we say, give us, Lord, this day our daily bread and feed our spirits and nourish us up in the words of faith. Exactly what you know we need for right now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Look, please, again in the scriptures. We'll go to Genesis again. The 17th chapter. We've been on our series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And just like we're saying earlier, your spirit's got to be fed. Faith's got to be fed. If you've never heard anything about God wants your needs met, He wants you to have abundant provision. If you've never heard any of that, then you can't believe it and you can't have faith for it. It'll just be conjecture and theory and guessing with you. You have to have heard it. And if you want your life based on something solid, it's got to be more than the opinions of men and women. Right?
Yes.
It's got to be something beyond that. And we have found that the Word of God is absolutely true. There are no errors in it. If you think you found one, you found something you don't understand. Now, there's a lot of variance in translation, and not all the translations are accurate, but the original words that God spoke, perfect for eternity. And you can build your life on it. And the truth that comes from it, that it is, it makes you free. Yes. And so we've been giving one by one 30 reasons from the Scriptures why we are sure. It's always God's will for us to have abundant provision. The first one was, the Lord is my shepherd. Do you agree with that He's your shepherd?
Yes.
The second one is the goodness of God. The third one was the fatherhood of God. The fourth one is the creation of God. The fifth one was God's will in heaven. The sixth one is the God of Abraham. And we're continuing. This is the seventh one's connected to that. But we ask the question, what kind of God did Abraham know? Would he agree? Would Abraham, if we could talk to him right now, would he agree that sometimes God makes people poor?
Oh, no.
Sometimes
no.
It's His will for them to be in lack. Do you think he would agree with that?
No.
He would say, the God I knew, the God I know, made me rich.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes.
Very rich. Protected me, kept me, healed me, restored me, gave us miracles. Mm-hmm. Is He the same God today?
Yes.
Yes, He is. Yes, He is. And this affects us personally directly because you'll find through the Scriptures, and that's part of what we're studying right now, we are directly connected to Abraham through our faith in Jesus. Galatians talks about it. Romans talks about it in the New Testament. And what we saw, look in Genesis 17 again, what we saw is that this covenant is an everlasting covenant that He made with him. He said in Genesis 17:1, when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and He said to him, you know, I heard somebody, mocking this is some time ago, but mocking about that somebody said God spoke to them. And they said, whoo, hearing voices, are we? You know, they mocked them. Did you know the Bible is full of people who heard God talk?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
What did it say? Abram was 90 years old and nine. The Lord appeared to Abram. He saw him and said to him. Mm-hmm. Is he hearing God?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Now, don't misunderstand me. Not everybody that says they heard God heard God. People make up stuff. There's all kinds of things going on. But can you hear from God? Every child of God can commune with God by His Spirit. Don't try to hear voices, but understand the Spirit of God lives inside you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if somebody's inside you, they don't have to make an audible sound to communicate with you.
That's right?
Right? And so from the inside of you, He can commune with you and enlighten your mind, and you can know things. We know things by the unction, by the anointing, the knowing. And He said, I'm the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I'll make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God did what? Talked with him. and said, you know, he thinks he's hearing from God, because he is. And for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you'll be a father of many nations. Verse 7, he goes on to say, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God to you and to be a God to your seed after you. So even after we saw in yesterday's class, after Abraham died, we see the exact same thing happen in Isaac's life that happened in his father Abraham's life. And the Bible said, after Abraham's death, the Lord was with Isaac and he blessed him. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when hard times fell on all the countries round about, there was famine and there was lack, and people were running to Egypt, which is a type of the world, for help. The Lord told Isaac, don't go to Egypt. Don't go to them. Stay where I'm telling you, and I'll be with you, and I'll bless you. Hallelujah. When you got the blessing, you don't need Egypt.
That's right.
Is that right? And so Isaac had learned from his father, learned from watching him, learned from walking with him, and he followed right in the footsteps of his father Abraham. And when he heard from God, he stayed right where God told him to, and he told him to plant in that land, which looked like throwing it away in a time of famine in a barren place. But they didn't throw it away. They reaped in the same year 100-fold. Woo! 100-fold. Is it possible?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And more than that's possible. Look with me in that passage again. What is that? The 26th chapter. Verse 12. Isaac, this is 26:12. Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year. I mean, that'd be less than 12 months. 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. We know what that word was used for Abraham, not that just that he was rich, but he was very rich. Does God exaggerate?
No.
So man, these, I'm just sure, if we could get transported back there and see their flocks and herds, we'd go, whoa. We're talking scores of thousands of sheep and goats. And I mean, far as I could see, multi-billionaires they were by today's standard in the wealth. And so it says, he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Do you know that that's what Jesus said about the 100-fold? He said that, well, in fact, just go to Mark 10, because somebody might not be familiar with it. And the rich young ruler, you know, came and asked Jesus about eternal life, and he gave him the opportunity of following with them, and he missed it and turned it down. But in Mark 10 and 28, Peter began to say to him, lo, we have left all and have followed you. Now, you got to be willing to sacrifice, right?
Yes.
God wants you to have abundant provision, but nothing should be a priority of stuff over him. And there's nothing you should have that you're not willing to leave, to sell, to give. And you know, us being the seed of Abraham, in our hearts, we should always live in a tent. You know what I mean by that? No matter what you have, you might have the grandest house, you might have the grandest place and stuff or whatever, but if the Lord tells you, leave it, go do this, go do that, in your heart, fold that tent up and get moving. Is that right? That there's nothing you can't leave, there's nothing you can't sell, there's nothing you won't give. And so that's what he said. We left everything and have followed you. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say to you, there is no man that has left house, our brethren, our sisters, our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold. Now, in this time. Now, that's not saying every offering you give, you could expect 100-fold. Now, some people say that, but that's not specifically what he's talking about. He's talking about things you gave up for the kingdom, right? Things you gave up, left, sacrificed for the kingdom. And, you know, other than that, just sowing an offering, it depends on what kind of ground you sowed into, right? And what kind of seed you sowed, and what kind of faith you have to reap. I mean, there's multiple factors in it. But what Jesus said is absolutely true. And can you see that with Isaac, a big part of it was obeying God, right? Stay, not going to the wrong place, staying at the right place, sowing at the right time, in the right place, where he told you to, right? And he reaped 100-fold. But the next verse says, the Philistines envied him. Envied him. So keep reading here. He said, Peter said, we've left all and followed. Jesus said, I'm telling you, there's nobody that has actually left their stuff and their people for God's sake and for the gospel's sake, but he'll receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Houses. So if you leave a place and a house to go serve the Lord, can you expect to just live in a little nothing dump place after that because you lost that? No, you can expect houses from the one you sowed. Right?
Yes.
Houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, plural, with persecutions. Well, see, the Philistines envying him, that's persecution. You know why? The devil hates the blessing. Oh, he hates it because it is a manifestation of the goodness of God in the land of the living, and the goodness of God leads men and women to repentance. Oh, he hates it because, see, he's trying to lie to everybody that God is mean, God is hard, God is cruel, he doesn't care, he'll take away everything from you, he doesn't want you to have anything. But then somebody show up that doesn't believe all that junk and believes in the blessing and gets blessed and increased, and people look and go, well, what's that? What's going on with that? That's God. Oh, the devil doesn't want anybody seeing that or knowing that. And so that's why the persecution comes. But, you know, I was talking about this one time about sowing a big seed and what a giant harvest, you know, if you sowed X amount and you reaped even a 30-fold of that, it'd be a $100 million harvest or a $500 million harvest. And I said, you know, not everybody would like that. And my spiritual elders, Brother Kenneth and Miss Gloria Copeland, were sitting there on the front row. And I said, you know, not everybody liked that. And that, you know, $500 million harvest, that $1 billion harvest. She spoke up, Miss Gloria, and said, oh, Keith, you'd get over it. And I thought, yeah, I would. To have $1 billion come into the ministry, I'd get over it if somebody had a problem with me or said something about it, which is what you need to do with persecution. Get over it. Is that right? Let it go. Because the Lord said you're going to have some. Reaping 100-fold in this time, in this life, including even houses and lands and material things, with persecutions, but in the world to come, eternal life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So you just need to know that if you follow the Lord and you receive this and believe this and obey Him, you're going to have some financial miracles. Huh? You're going to have some material and financial miracles in your life. Some things that will be obvious. You didn't get it through hard work. Huh? You didn't get it because you were so brilliant, so smart, and so amazing. It'll be obvious you had help. Right? It was the blessing of the Lord that did that for you. And when that happens, not everybody's going to like it. Not everybody's going to be happy about it. And that's sad, because everything from jealousy to envy to just people, you know, disrespecting and unbelieving and doubting, you can't control all that. But does God still want a witness of His goodness in the earth?
Yes.
Regardless of what people say about it or do about it, He wants that witness. Can you say amen?
Amen.
In Genesis 26, go back to that if you would, please. Isaac sowed in that land, verse 12, received in the same year 100-fold. Can God still do that today?
Yes.
Certainly He can, and He does. And the Lord did what?
Blessed him.
Now tell me why. Why? Well, God made a covenant.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
With His father. Is that right?
Yeah.
And with His father's seed.
Yeah.
After him in all their generations for an everlasting covenant.
Yes.
God just didn't just want to do this with one man for one lifetime.
Right.
His plan was to keep doing this from then on.
Amen.
And so it goes on to say, the man waxed great. He went forward. He grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. That's just mean. Right? This is arid desert area. Why would anybody be filling up a well? Right? Dumb. But the devil is that way. And verse 16, Abimelech, who was the king of the Philistines there, he said to Isaac, "You need to leave. Go from us, for you are much mightier than we." Huh? He's showing up the king. Huh? He's got more stuff and more money and more cows and sheep and goats than the rich people in the land, even than the king. And he didn't like that. And the Philistines envied him. And he said, "You got to leave. You got to get out of here." So he did. Go with me to Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter. And the 6th verse, Jeremiah 33:6, and the Lord saying concerning his people and their places, he said, "Behold," Jeremiah 33:6, "I will bring it health and cure. I will cure them and will reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return and will build them. As at the first, I'll cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they've sinned against me. I'll pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, whereby they have transgressed against me. And it'll be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do to them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Hallelujah. What is this? God is saying, this will be a witness to me. I'm going to save my people. I'm going to deliver them and set them free. And that's not all. I'm going to build them back to where they used to be, and I'm going to take them further, and I'm going to bless them so much, and I'm going to manifest so much goodness and so much prosperity in their midst that other people that see it will fear and tremble and go, whoo. At what? At the goodness, at the prosperity, at the plenty. Was that a witness to the whole country what was happening for Isaac?
Yes.
They didn't respond correctly. They envied. They should have come over and sat down and said, can you tell us,
yes.
Right? How in the world did you reap a 100-fold harvest in the middle of a famine? You know, what had to happen is it rained on his land and nowhere else.
Right.
Huh? A lot of things had to happen for that car or whatever kind of miracle God did, but it was the blessing. But instead of doing that, they got into competition. And they said, you can't, you're showing us up. You got to leave. And they ran off the very thing that would have helped them turn their country around.
Right.
No, God's will has always been that he have a witness of his goodness. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In your neighborhood,
yes.
In your town,
yes.
In your company where you work.
Yes.
Is it true that it's God's will to bless you? With so many sales, so many contracts. Are you understand what I'm talking about? So many, whatever it is that your company produces, that people notice you. They notice your station. They notice your department. And they go, what's going on here? What's going on here? Do not say, oh, we work hard. We are hard workers. It was more than hard work,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
It was the blessing of the Lord, yes. That made you prosperous.
Yes.
Amen. It made you the number one sales and made you the number one producer. Somebody said out loud, the blessing of the Lord.
The blessing of the Lord.
It makes rich.
It makes rich.
And hard work,
hard
work. Doesn't improve it.
Doesn't improve.
Adds nothing to it. The blessing of the Lord belongs to me, is on me, and is doing great things in my life in these days. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Well, our time's up again today, but can you see what we're talking about? God hadn't changed. The blessing hasn't changed. You can expect the same. Well, we'll see you again soon. Back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.